and welcome everyone to Bubblecast episode number 4. This is TSS Killer speaking. We have a pretty good show for you today. We have AG 158, 159, and a little bit of Ranger details that we have here that we actually have the release date for it, but more on that later. Our cast today includes Archaic, of course, everybody knows. No introduction needed. Bubble Garden Webmaster, yada, yada, yada.
Hey, everyone.
Pod, BMG Mod. Hello.
Hey, sorry.
That's all right.
Little distracted, little tired.
Stop eating pie.
And we have PPN Steve, who, of course, owns Hulk on Palace Network and all that jazz. So, let's begin.
If you can't tell, yes, we are all fairly tired today.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been a down day and a down week in general because of last week. Anyhow... we're going to start off first with 158, which of course is the Battle 2 episode of Zami.
Mm. Oh, yes.
And
not much interest for the battling fans, but all the shippers went crazy.
Yeah, the episode itself was pretty bland, not an interesting battle, even the animation was bad. It was the only thing of interest was the ship.
They hardly use CGI in an episode anyway. They didn't go with the big guns in terms of graphics.
True. I don't think they had the good animation team either. There were some times where I was looking at the artwork and I was just like, this isn't done by the good team, is it?
Like with Haruka right at the start.
Yeah.
Hmm. Agree with that. And also the masquerading. The only hilarious episode. The only hilarious part of the episode, of course, is the Sonansu dressed like a mob boss, whatever you want to call that, or a Japanese businessman. That's probably the only thing of value besides the shipping, obviously, of that episode. Because none of it was quite boring. Even the battle was boring. Everybody will agree with me on this.
Yeah. Mm.
It wasn't that terribly exciting, except a couple of volt tackles that looked like they were manufactured more than a real attack. Actually, a lot of those attacks were manufactured, in my opinion. I mean, you had the volt tackle that came off of a spinning into the whirlwind, and you have the iron tail into the water.
It wasn't iron tail, it was poison tail.
I thought it was iron tail, whatever, it was poison tail. But like I said, it had no creativity in terms of battling or other matters besides the shipping. And of course, the shippers went crazy.
Oh yes. As far as the ship goes, it's rather interesting. I mean, Brock ships are a dime a dozen, really. But this is the first girl who hasn't been like a character of the day, someone we'd never expect to turn up again. But like. Not a gym leader, but equivalent
just
level.
Because we expect some of characters like gym leaders to turn up again doesn't mean they always do, as I might remind.
Well,
Battle Frontier,
yes.
Almost every opportunity where they've had to bring back an old character and they never did. But let's not bring up bad feelings about that.
See, they haven't brought back old, unimportant characters for the most part.
Have they brought back any gym leaders, though?
They did during Johto, didn't they?
We're talking about...
I mean, not Johto,
We're talking about BF, not Johto.
Johto, they'd love to bring back...
Advance.
Ah.
Didn't they had some Advance gym leaders reoccur? Didn't they appear several times?
Only
for rematches, yeah.
They're really not doing the bring back old characters thing very much.
Yeah.
So unless a girl joins the party, the chances of her coming back, unless the writers want to sink the ship, are slim to none.
I suppose. Why the heck did they put it in the first place? I mean, that was unnecessary character development. The whole episode could have happened without it.
Because the episode would have been really boring otherwise. Whether or not it becomes a canon ship, it's cute for one episode. It's something. Yeah. It's more interesting than, oh, hey, here's Lucy, here's Ash beating Lucy, here's them leaving. It's the only point of interest in the episode, and therefore it's makes sense that they would come up with it. It's just their little plot thing for the day. It doesn't seem to me like they're planning to go that really that far with it. They're just, it was just a good, it was just a good plot, and it is a very cute ship for one episode.
Yeah, but still, the plot had no depth.
The plot had no depth to it, really.
Besides that one simple fact, it had no depth at all.
Yeah.
So many gym episodes, though, have had no depth to them. They've just been Ash goes in, has the battle, maybe loses, maybe comes back for a rematch, or maybe does it in one, and that's it.
Well, they've been trying to make it a little more interesting this time, if you haven't noticed. I mean, with the whole...
No, I haven't.
First episode, Articuno, why did they give him an Articuno? Because it was more interesting than having him just fight.
Because it was in his Battle Frontier team?
What?
Wasn't that in his Battle Frontier team?
I believe
in
so.
The games?
I don't know. But they haven't had anyone else have a legendary Pokemon. And, what else? Greta, they had the whole thing with the dojo, so they didn't really have... That one was a little duller than usual. What's the name of the other one? Heath. Heath is interesting enough in his own. And the whole crowd aspect kind of spiced it up a lot, and it was a more interesting battle than we usually get, just because of the whole...
It's the entertainment factor.
Yeah. I mean...
Because he's an entertainer.
Yeah.
Really.
Without this whole ship, what would it have been? The only appeal would have been Lucy.
Without their ship, they could have spent the time they spent on the ship making the battle more exciting.
Mm-hmm. They could have had a 17-minute battle instead of 11.
Why did they choose to even put that ship in instead of develop the battle a little more?
Why did they choose to do it with Wilhelmina in that one episode? Even if that one was just a filler, the focus of that one would have otherwise been Misty helping out the Meryl and wanting to get a Meryl herself.
That's a throwaway character of the day, though. That's very different to doing this with a gym leader, like a frontier brain with an established personality and backstory from the games, even if it's not much of one. Why did they actually go out and do this when they could have easily just extended the battle and not had to use any creativity whatsoever?
It was the plot they wanted to do.
Want to do it?
There's so many ways that you can go with any one of these plots if you look at it. I mean, I really don't see what about this is supposed to be huge, groundbreaking character development. Yes, it is a very new plot, but it's at the same time, I don't see it having a major impact on the series.
I'm not saying it's groundbreaking character development, though. I did notice that there didn't really seem to be... He didn't really seem to go after Joy in the most recent episode to the extent that he has before, which was a little interesting.
Mm.
But, I did see it as unnecessary character development for the Frontier Brain. I mean, it wasn't necessary, so why did they do it? They must have had a reason, and it seems to me that just, oh, we're bored, let's throw this in instead of making an exciting battle seems a little... It doesn't really seem to answer the question.
I think it could be an open door to Takshi leaving the series.
Yeah, whether they'll use the door is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. They don't tend to use these doors a lot.
Yeah, but when they have, they have. They have real. They have. They've hinted them in the last few times. I mean, take for example. Take for example episode 84, which of course is Disastrous Flight.
Well, it's not like he hasn't left before. He's been with the group for a bunch of seasons now. He wasn't really totally cliched at the end of Indigo. After he came back, he was all cliched. And he's gotten worse since then. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, he definitely...
If you had a stopwatch, you could basically predict every action of his throughout an episode.
In fact, it's kind of been like that the whole series, though. At the very, very beginning of Pokemon, Brock wasn't half this bad. And then as time went on, he got rejected more, suffered more heartbreak, fell in love with more women.
He got progressively worse, but now
and
he
now
doesn't
we're at the
even
point
get
where
worse. Yeah, there's no fluctuation anymore. It's all just always there, always going crazy. It's only in the last two episodes that he's had any fluctuation there whatsoever.
Yeah. So
in any case, we can't really make a judgment there until they actually show us a few more episodes and we can see how his personality changes or doesn't.
Yeah. We have to get
the last episode, he did seem a little light reacting to Joy, but I think that was because they seem to really be focusing on the whole orienteering plot. I mean, they had him doing the heart eyes and being in the background, but then all of a sudden, oh, hey, look, here's the orienteering. And then he did go nuts for Joy later, and then Bonsly kind of knocked him out a la Team Rocket.
which will be interesting if, because of what Bonsly's doing, he slowly stops.
Yeah, that I think is affecting Brock more than anything else, because instead of the ear pulling, we have a little Bonsly beating the snot out of him every time.
Which is another important point. That is the first time in how long now that he hasn't been pulled by the ear at all during an episode.
Maybe they're actually catching on that we're getting sick and tired of the ear pulling gag.
It only took him about, 200 episodes to find that out?
Bonsly is going to be jealous, that's all.
I actually like this gag more, maybe because it's fresh and new, or maybe because Bonsly is way up there on my list of favorite Pokemon, but I like it. It's better than the ear pull.
I mean, I kind of had to rewind and go, what? when I saw it, but, you know.
And okay, perhaps we should get back to AG 158 before we go on about 159 stuff.
Yeah, so...
Is there anything more to say about 158?
In a nutshell... Dull, boring, except for the shippers. Sorry.
Yeah.
But, they should have made the battle more longer.
If
Azami's hot, watch it for that.
If Lucy didn't have her, squinty eye fetish, then there would have been nothing worth noting about this episode, because just by the way that they did the battle. Except, if she didn't have the eye fetish, it probably would be that they would have focused on the battle more. As it stands.
On that topic. I don't think it's just the squinty eye fetish that she's got for Brock. She was reacting to the things he was calling across the arena when she couldn't even really see him.
Well, yeah, but
she was blushing to his words.
I know that they probably made it so she developed something of a crush on him. However, I do think that one of the main bases of this crush is probably just the fact that he has squinty eyes, and as they showed, they had no problem showing us, she's got a fetish.
we don't know that for sure, though. It's
how many Pokemon did she have that all had squinty eyes?
I mean, the question is, I mean, the first thing Brock said to her, the very first thing he said, was, I've fallen in love with you at first sight. It would be interesting to know if that was them having a gag or not. If that was intentional, and to have a bit of a joke at the whole eye thing, then maybe that was the basis. But
it seemed like
she was responding to his words as well as his eyes. You can't have a crush without attraction, both physically and to their personality. I mean,
I think we've definitely
got the physical, but... Mm. I think there's also evidence to suggest we've got the personality.
I do think that the whole thing about it being one big pun, though, is quite possible. Because I thought that it was just supposed to be one sort of gag. Like, people are like, oh my god, is she actually falling for him? Oh, wait, she really likes squinty eyes. Okay, now that makes sense.
But that was before I knew about the line
being translated to about sight. I mean, we all know how much these guys love puns, so it would not surprise me if they built up an entire ship just for one big pun.
We've done that several times before, so I'm not surprised.
Then I had Azami's whole pun on friend, which I can't even begin to translate. In any case.
I think we should have our first call in right now.
Yep. I got no problem with that.
Okay. We are going to bring in... Pokemon trainer Lisa for the first call in of Bulbacast episode number 4. Well, welcome to Bulbacast, Pokemon trainer Lisa.
Oh, hi.
Well, in any case, what would your question be this week?
I prefer the dub version.
Yeah, that's going to be a little problem in today's cast. We're not really touching on the dubs yet.
What episode was the dub today? I never get to see it because I don't have WB.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow, right.
Snow Run.
AG-109 for the Japanese.
Have I seen the wrong
catch Yukiwarashi.
Oh, man, that was such a good episode. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, to key on back, 50 episodes ago when I actually did see it, which was 50 weeks, no, probably more than a year ago.
So yeah, about a year ago.
Yeah, just about a year ago because they have the special and whatnot, they skip weeks. In any case, the whole point of the episode was pretty funny in my opinion. I actually did make a few pictures where Yukiwarashi was freezing Satoshi, just making fun out of the whole situation. In terms of the whole giving of the apple, freezing his hat, and freezing him. I actually remember making a picture out of it. I said, it says, oh, too bad, but I do have some good news. At least he saved money on his car insurance by switching to Geico.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it was one of the most more memorable fillers from the PSM, Pokemon Symphonic Melody era, as it were.
Mm. Yeah, I actually like any episode where Ash loses his badges somehow because it's just always funny.
Mm-hmm. Because he took a badge case and then he ran into the middle of a mountain, stole it, gave him an apple, froze him, and then just ran away.
I wonder how he got out of that ice so quickly.
How do they always get out of ice and such so quickly? How do they dry off so quickly? They must be very, very waterproof, because every time...
Or they're warm, or they're hot-blooded, who knows?
And it also ranks up there with the mystery of how can they change their clothing with just tearing off their old outfit?
Yeah, I love that. It's awesome.
Body suits?
I don't like to think that,
Well, they obviously get into cosplay, so... Why not?
Do you remember that Executor episode where, at the very start, Ash and Brock tore off their clothes to reveal those outfits?
Yes, episode.
Somehow I'd like to think that they didn't have that under their clothes.
They wouldn't be doing that then.
It kind of reminds me of a line from The Fortune Hunters where James had the Moltres outfit and that Jesse and Meowth are wondering how he got that that outfit. And
where'd he get that outfit? Yeah, I think it came just right out of his closet.
That was hilarious.
Mm. Poking fun at James' questionable masculinity.
Yeah, but the problem is they make him look more of a have a gay personality than he does in the Japanese version, which I think that they should. At least alleviate it, because...
He's very flamboyant, but I don't like to think of him as gay, because he's definitely shown attraction to girls more than boys.
Exactly.
And also,
he's just had a few bad experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He has definitely got a fear of commitment. He is terrified of commitment, and we can blame that all on Jesse Bell. But also, it seems kind of stereotypical for them to say that because he cross-dresses with alarming frequency, he's gay. Because actually, I've met quite a few cross-dressers, most of which are straight. In fact, I've cross-dressed, and I'm much more attracted to men than women.
He could just be an otaku.
Oh, yes.
An otaku. And by the way, otaku means overly obsessive with something. More so to an anime-related person than anything else, but otakus can come in many shapes and sizes. At any rate,
I bet we're all considered otaku here because we're doing a podcast on Pokemon. Burn! Wait, I did that to myself. Dang it!
You opened the door right there.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so any other questions or comments that you may like to add about anything?
Yeah, well, I was just gonna ask, what are your favorite aspects of the dub, and like, how much would you say is added to Pokemon, like such as things like humor and other things.
Ooh.
The dub actually takes it out, in my opinion.
I haven't watched the dub in. Anyway. I haven't watched the dub in 2 years.
Well,
I honestly don't know how it is nowadays.
I watch last week's.
I try to watch the dub whenever possible. It gets a little hard for me since Rhode Island has no WB channel, so I have to wait until they're available on the internet. No!
Oh, that is so sad.
I know! I know, it makes me want to cry every time I think about it. I didn't even notice it happening because I stopped watching sometime in Johto, and then I tried to come back, and I'm like, where's WB? It was right here last time I checked! Anyway,
they took it from you.
They did! They took it right out under my nose!
Our WB station had a couple technical difficulties where it was just out for the whole duration of Pokemon, and I hated that because I had to wait until they re-aired it.
Yeah.
Good point.
Well, anyway, besides my problems with actually getting the dub, as far as pros and cons go, pros, and I swear this is not related to the issues that we've been hearing about it lately. One of the things I really like about the dub is actually the voice actors, because, I don't know, maybe it's because we've just heard them for so long, or maybe it's just because, I don't know. I really like the voice actors, and I like the voices that they do. And while I'm also very partial to the Japanese voices, I think that, both the original and the dub have very good suiting voices.
And also reminds me of when they play that James message backwards, and instead Leo Burnett and Four Kids of the Devil. Ever heard that one?
No, I've not heard
no,
that.
No, I haven't heard that either.
That is actually in episode 130. In that clip, he says gibberish when played forwards. When played backwards, he says Leo Burnett and Four Kids Are the Devil.
Wow.
That's fine.
Whoa.
James says that?
I can't play.
Yes. He does and say that.
And they think that they meant to put that in, maybe? Or is it just speculation? Because
No, it did happen. It did happen.
We
actually had a sound clip on...
we don't know if it was on purpose or not, but it's definitely in there.
Thank you, Eric Stewart.
It's your typical backwards masking.
The only thing problems that I really have with the dub are what they take out, the cutting of scenes of music, of painting
over
rice balls with sandwiches,
and the wine glasses with the bottoms cut off.
What?
I
feel like they're watering it down way too much. We like it the way it is. It's just not as fun when you take out
the stuff. They had the badge case edit. They have the... I think they had a major edit in, I think, AG-22, where they actually had a whole entire wall changed.
I wonder if some of the edits, like maybe if they had to make them because of FCC told them to or something.
No, it's Four Kids doing
it. It's Four Kids themselves that are dumb.
They want to dumb it down so that the 4-year-olds can understand it, because that's what their target market is.
And that's why they have more stupid puns than anything, and the stupid music. Go to the music.
Don't even want to go there.
Why
do they
have to kill
us
the Japanese music?
Look at all the fans who are still Pokemon fans. How old are they? 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
The ones who are paying hundreds of dollars to buy these Pokemon cards to make decks. The ones who are buying all the games and playing them obsessively.
The serious ones, yeah.
Yeah.
All the fans are of
older age. Why are they still dumbing
it
down?
I'm not sure.
A lot of little kids have left the fans.
Because it's a cartoon.
Yeah,
only kids can like cartoons.
Well, I don't know.
You ever watch Bugs Bunny?
I love Bugs
that
Bunny.
That is so
I always
adult.
Have my
it's
own
not
yeah,
even
funny.
Funny.
I'm not sure.
I don't want to meet the...
to all ages, in my opinion.
I don't want to meet the kids who Cowboy Bebop is aimed at.
Oh, yeah.
The little kids who...
I'm not exactly sure.
I've seen parents at video rental stores get their kids Orotsuka Doji because they just looked at the cover and went, it's a cartoon, it out. Yeah. Now, I don't want to know what happened to that kid afterwards, but the perception amongst most average people is simply that cartoons are for kids. They're all for kids.
True.
They might be for family entertainment too, but they're primarily for kids. We know that's not always true, but that's not how the average person sees it. And unfortunately, four kids have this idea. Well, yeah, but you've got to wonder how the hell four kids can still believe that.
Because yeah, I'm not that's sure still what they're targeting.
I mean,
for.
I'm not sure if 4Kids actually knows that there's an older audience out there.
Well, yeah, I've wondered that too. Are they doing their market research? Are they doing their market research
to where their shows are popular and the little kids on Saturday morning are what makes them their money?
Indeed.
And that's all they care about.
All they care about is making money. They don't care.
They don't care about the series.
Yeah, don't care about the fans.
I mean, look at what they did with Yu-Gi-Oh.
Killed it.
Yep. They GX'd it, right? Cut its head right off.
Well, Yu-Gi-Oh GX was something that happened in Japan anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when 4Kids got a hold of it,
what did they do when they got a hold of it?
They really.
We want you to finish the sentence.
You thought it was the Japanese version was sad.
Hmm.
Version, the dub, was 10 times worse.
Yeesh. Point made.
Okay, I have a Yu-Gi-Oh website. I went from 4,000 basic hits a day to 2,200 because of when GX came out.
Yeesh.
We lost that many Yu-Gi-Oh fans that fast.
And that's really sad.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really? One thing I've always wondered is how come they've never released any of the Pokemon DVDs on widescreen before. They're always full screen.
Because they're not actually created in widescreen.
They're created in 4:4. They're created in aspect ratio 4:3 rather than 16:9. Just because the feed that they get from Japan, the video that they get from Japan are in 4:3. And also due to the fact that
they draw them in too. Well.
Yeah, they're drawing it, so it's very hard to create a 16:9 film if it's not a movie. I know in terms of movies, of course.
Here it is.
They have widescreen versions.
I mean, they could do it, but
they wouldn't.
Right, because it's going to end up being cropped on 90% of the viewers that they're trying to get anyway. So why bother? Whereas a movie, you know, it's going on a wide screen. Well, for Japan anyways, it'll actually be on a real theater screen. Mm. And DVDs can support widescreen anyways, because you just letterbox them and they work out fine, nobody complains.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole thing with it being targeted at kids will slowly change now that Nintendo's basically taken the reins back. I mean, even if they aren't dubbing the next season, and I have no idea who's got the rights there now? The whole thing's just confusing me no end.
Yeah, but
and not only that, on a side note, they've dumped Pokemon for dog commercials.
What?
Four kids dumped Pokemon to make advertising for dogs.
Yeah, they're gonna do the AKA promotion now. All the licensing for AKA or AKC or one of them professional dog organizations.
If you're saying dogs are better than Pokemon, you should be shot.
Actually, they're probably trying to recoup the money they just lost by losing the Pokemon license.
Yeah, I guess.
Well,
I guess so.
It's not that they're saying it's better, it's that, we got the license pulled.
They're kind of...
And then they wonder why.
Exactly.
In any case, Nintendo knows from their experience with the TCG that there are a huge group of older fans out there, and that they are now probably in the majority, and certainly the 11 to 15 age group, if not the 15 plus age group.
I have a feeling that influenced their decision to take the license over too.
Well, I think also due to the fact that the original Japanese version is also gaining popularity in this country, even though it may not be legal. I think they've seen that happen.
I think we'll start
to
see.
Can we be blamed for that?
Maybe, but I'm not giving any hints anyway.
Don't know about
that. I would think that Nintendo's going to start releasing more sort of side stories to their standard game that are aimed at the older audience. I mean, XD was obviously an attempt at having a darker story. it didn't definitely exactly get there for the 15 pluses, but for the 11 to 15s, maybe it certainly did. Mm-hmm. And I think they've got to keep progressing like that. Well, yeah, I haven't played it yet, unfortunately, but
I
hear it's what Colosseum should have been.
I did like Colosseum and XD both, and I do think that XD is getting closer to what a lot of people seem to want. Maybe it's just...
Well, we really want the Game Boy version, where you walk around
yes.
and find stuff.
Yes, exactly. That's
we
that's
like
the
Game
best.
Boy.
So make the console version a 3D world where we walk, where we get and find stuff, go digging in bushes.
They weren't going to make that on GameCube simply because you couldn't trade easily. You
Why
would have had to
you?
Have your mate... You didn't really have net capability. You might have been able to do it with your friend coming over with his memory card, but otherwise it wouldn't have been easy.
Okay, in any case, though, also to think about it, if they did have a Game Boy counterpart to it, you could still trade.
Yeah.
Because they do have an adapter for it. They do have an adapter.
Well, that's what
it.
They...
Yeah, and didn't they have a net adapter
with.
Also?
Yeah, but hardly anyone used it. They weren't going to sell.
They would have.
Well, it's only for LAN.
If the game
only for
supported it.
No. There was a broadband one as well. Because remember, Phantasy Star Online was released for the GameCube.
LAN is considered broadband because it's same connector. It's
well, right. It's just Ethernet connector is all it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. In any case, they couldn't really release one for the GameCube. It wasn't entirely feasible to do what they wanted to do easily. It is feasible for the Revolution. It's very feasible.
Especially if you will wirelessly interact with the DS.
And let's just say that DS Wi-Fi USB connector thingy will probably work with the Revolution.
That would be very sweet.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd love to see that.
I don't think we're going to have a problem getting something like that on the next Revolution, and honestly, that will sell consoles.
Indeed. Oh, yeah.
Yep. And games.
Even though the...
If they want to sell games, all they need to do is to put Nintendogs on the Revolution.
Yeah.
With the and they've got
PBN likes
stylus like
things.
The stupid doggy game.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's not my kind of game, but a lot of people do, and it will sell consoles.
I'll buy it when it's Nintendo Cats.
I'll buy it when it's Nam Cobras.
I'll buy it when you can just have a whole zoo of different animals.
Or make a zoo tycoon type of game.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah.
I want a whole jungle of animals to myself. I can't settle for just dogs.
The fact that Nintendo could very easily do PC-style games like that with the controller, because it's more like a gyroscopic
mouse than
anything.
Yeah, but yet they have to deal with
that. That's a bit off-topic.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a bit off-topic now, though.
Yeah,
they're supposed to be talking about Pokemon, not Nintendo general stuff.
You know, it's like
the two kind of affect each other because the whatever direction Nintendo goes in, it will probably affect whatever direction Pokemon goes in.
Exactly,
I agree with
that's
that.
True.
So that actually says a lot of interesting things about what we could be seeing from Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like Nintendogs could inspire a Hey You Pikachu that didn't suck.
Now that would be interesting.
It would be nice to have a Hey You Pikachu type of game on the DS since they had the microphone. You have the stylus.
Oh, yeah.
You could do a lot of things with it.
I'm amazed they haven't done it already, frankly.
Maybe you
I think that's a hint to the Nintendo
Pikachu.
Japan developers.
I'd love to be able to do that with any Pokemon besides Pikachu since I am sick and tired of seeing that same
Well, yes, that's a point. We should have... They should do a Nintendogs version just with Pokemon. Set up three different versions of the game with different Pokemon available.
So,
in case I know people are waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
Very nice having you on the show.
Yeah.
Thank you very
great
much.
Great talking
for,
to you.
It was nice talking to you guys
on.
Too.
Yeah, hopefully we'll talk again. And
We'll have some dub episodes for you to come in and join in sometime.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, I'd love to talk dub with you when I can have a better chance of getting it from week to week.
Yeah.
Come back, WP. We miss you in Rhode Island. Anyway.
Okay.
All right. Thanks
for the
call.
Bye, everyone. Thank you for the call. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Okay, bye.
And once again, we love our users. We do not shame them when they come on air.
Yes.
And we...
We cut all your stuff ups.
Stuff ups. I like that. And that really entices others to call in, because we can have conversations like this and we go on and you can
totally lose the thread of the topic, but who cares? It's fun.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's
you like
it's
listening
random.
To it apparently, so
everybody loves randomness for some reason.
Because it's unexpected,
as long as the
and therefore
somewhat
funny.
Somewhat Pokemon, I think everybody will be happy.
We will be right back with Bulbacast 4 after this message.
Need Pokemon information? Remember, Pokemon Palace Network. PPN has game cheats, game information, episode information, movie information. Remember, don't get your daily dose of Pokemon anywhere else. That's PokemonPalace.net.
And welcome back, everyone, to Bulbacast episode number 4.
We could start up the discussion on the orienteering episode a little early, I guess.
Okay.
Maybe.
Was it just me, or did James have an unusual amount of character development in that one?
Yeah, this isn't the
game. No, he, like, rocked in that one for some reason. What the hell is up with that?
He's, like, starting to become less...
Team Rocket?
Yeah.
More...
If we start getting hints that he's going to settle down, that's potentially with Brock, two characters they've just given themselves outs with.
I don't know if settle down is the right word, because that implies settling down with someone else, and as we all know, Jake is terrified of commitment.
True. Yeah.
He is very, very scared of commitment, and that's Jezebel's fault.
Yeah. I know someone asked this on the forum, so we should probably mention it, but the reason he gave the fruit away, to me, it seemed that basically he was doing it because he didn't want to blow his cover.
Yeah, something like that.
He only really wanted the medal to begin with, plus Joy said she wanted to give it to Ash because he'd protected the Pokemon.
Yeah.
So...
He's like, yeah, whatever, they can take
it. Yeah, well, yeah, he basically said, everyone can have it. Which both makes him look like a good guy and gives a subtle up you to Ash to make sure that he doesn't get all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think James would think things through that much, but... In any case... Was there really anything interesting that happened in this episode besides the fact that we didn't have much Brock going crazy and there seemed to be some character development for James? Well, other than those two things, I thought it was pretty much a pretty dull filler. Well, I mean, not dull necessarily, but... Yeah, it was a fun filler, but it was still filler.
Yeah, it had nothing to add to the series, but to the fact that... You know, they got to go play around for a while, and that in itself is...
Yeah, it was a fun little filler. And it gives them an... It basically gave them the excuse to have Haruka go for her next contest.
Now, before we get started on the talk on AG-159, I'd like to get a person that is dying, and literally I say this, dying, to be on this cast. And that would be Cater Cater. I'm not even sure how I could say his name. Cater, I think it is. I'm not even sure.
Well, he'll tell us, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi.
Okay, should I say my question?
I think you should.
Well, in the recent episode, what exactly is happening with the map and everything?
Are you talking about Dub or the Japanese?
The Japanese.
so we can answer that question a lot easier. The map thing, it's basically kind of like a scavenger hunt. They've got to go around the island with this orienteering thing with just this map and compass and get all the stamps and then go back to the Pokemon Center. First person to get all the stamps wins.
It's actually a pretty common activity.
Yeah, Treasure.
Yeah.
Do it. Almost every time it does something like it.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, people in, like, I don't know, scouts or whatever you call them would probably be doing them.
That and stuff, yeah. It says you're out in the woods with a map, compass, and a list of coordinates, and you're on your own. It's, like you said, a scavenger hunt type thing, but you don't hunt anything. You just
go to
try to
sections.
Be the one with the most correct points or stamp your map like they were doing in the anime.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's really fun.
Actually, I was surprised that there wasn't anything to do with the Pokemon Ranger in this episode, because it seemed like this kind of episode would have been really... Yeah, it would have seemed like the episode would have been perfect for it. Like, someone gets lost in the forest while on the orienteering thing and doesn't know how to use a compass, and the Ranger goes to rescue them.
One. You know, they're in a... probably a park of some sort of national park type setting or whatever. Could be
a small island.
But still,
yeah.
It could be no reason why a ranger, Pokemon Ranger, wouldn't be there and why they couldn't run into one.
Basically, it was like a scavenger hunt. They had to go around everywhere with that map, go to all these certain locations, stamp it, then go back to the Pokemon Center. Whoever got all the stamps first won. Did you have any more questions?
Well, in the Battle Pike episode with Lucy, when Pikachu went through the whirlwind, isn't that kind of like impossible?
I've already keyed on it earlier in the Bulbacast, and I've said that these are manufactured moves that wouldn't even exist.
In PASBL, we call it god modding, basically. It's like, where the hell did that rock come from? How did you manage to do this? Yada, yada, yada.
And also due to the fact that it took them 10 seconds to have Donphan do that attack while they were just contemplating it.
Okay. I have to go.
Okay, thanks a lot for calling us.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on Boulder Cast.
Bye.
See you next time.
See you later.
Done it.
And once again, that's always fun.
So you really thought this episode was just run-of-the-mill filler?
Who, me?
Both of you.
I thought it was filler, but it was pretty good filler. Not all filler is bad filler, after all. I mean, we definitely got some James character development, and...
Indeed.
It is nice to see once in a while that the Team Rocket isn't always very bad, terrible, awful to the core. Especially not James.
Yeah. Well, he never
Jesse maybe, but certainly not James. Jesse's done the Pokemon Nurse stuff before, so.
Yeah. She's a little more corrupt than James, but I think she's got a good heart to her in her somewhere that we don't see.
Well, Team Rocket in general does, because if you know, they're not... They could be a lot
They're incompetent evildoers.
Yes, because their incompetence is bred from not really being evil. Every Team Rocket appearance in a movie, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Don't they always end up being the good guys?
Yeah, they do. They actually do better when they act as the good guys, as James has proven.
Yes.
They do better whenever they go up against anyone who isn't Ash and Kai.
Yeah, well, also
I mean, when they haven't gone up against a gym leader or Ashenko or something like that, they kick ass.
And they also do really... But I'm also saying they also do really well when they're on the good guy's side, when they're trying to help people rather than cheat and lie and steal and do bad things in general. So, I don't know. If they ever went to the good guy's side, I would be there cheering for them, but I'm kind of on the side of the twerps in general.
Is there anything more to actually say about 159, really, besides calling up that map thing for anyone who didn't understand?
Well, in my opinion, this episode reminded me of game shows, you know? They had the first hint would be Joy's Price is Right style reveal on the food. The second one would have to be when Masato crossed the river with the grass stick, it reminds me of a game from Takashi's Castle, which if anybody doesn't know, they use the footage to make MXC out of that. And of course he falls into the hole. There's a lot of redundancy here, especially stamping and posing, and also the redundant usage of holes, because everybody seems to be falling into some hole. So, it's
hole has been Team Rocket's running gag for how long now?
Since episode 3. And also, having Yarth dressed up as a Nura, that was probably... most comedic thing is probably in this episode, just because of the fact that the feathers on him were absolutely ridiculous. I can't believe they actually
fell for it.
Notice that? Yeah, they fell for it basically. And I like also when Yarth also put on that Kojiro wig and tried to do the motto. That was kind of
that
funny.
It was amusing when that they finally realized, wait a second, we don't have to stand here while they're saying the motto. We can just rescue everything now and beat them up after.
Yep.
Like that.
It's about time they've done that.
Isn't that like the first time they've done that?
That's the first time they've done that.
Yeah.
Because every time they stand there and go, damn, we have to hear the motto again. Why do you guys keep doing that? Blah, 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 blah. But
I think it's all because of the riders changing of the riders in 135, because the quality of episodes has certainly become better as time progressed, especially this one. Well, introducing a brand new concept such as they don't have to say the model in full anymore. We just take back everything. Sneak behind their backs while they're doing the poses and stuff.
What about the possibility of Team Rocket making a much smaller impact on the show, a smaller appearance?
Well, they haven't really done anything for the last two episodes. I mean, they were gone before even halfway last week.
And this
every episode, though, it doesn't matter. Are they?
Oh, well, no, this week a lot of the focus was on them, but not...
In the original sense that we use we depict them as...
Right. I mean,
because they weren't doing it for good. They were doing it for their own well-being, not necessarily against anyone.
Except Jesse, well, you know.
Well, they had the whole fight there, and then we had the teapot noise. And also, to key off of this, especially in the last episode as well, AG-158-159, redundant use of a Lovely Boy instrumental. And I have to say, why do they have to make a Lovely Boy instrumental? I mean, they should have...
Why did they reuse all those old songs to begin with? Actually?
They, you know what they should have done? They should have buried Lovely
Boy... I
actually
like that they did that because it kind of... I don't know, it made the whole funness of the episode fun.
But still, they should have buried Lovely Boy with movie 7. They should have
just but Lovely Boy, without the music... I mean, without the words, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with the music.
Yeah, but it still gets annoying at times. Makes you cringe.
Yeah, but it wasn't long enough to really hurt anything.
Well, yeah, that's right.
And they followed it up with another decent song. So.
PSM and the Pokemon Symphonic Melody. They've been using that to the ground as of late.
Well, maybe they got some issues with the music. Who knows?
Well, they could always reuse movie 4, movie 5 soundtrack background music again, like they've always been doing.
Yeah, they could, but
because if you notice,
maybe they wanted the sound to be more fun-ish. Like, you know, Lovely
Boy. Yeah, but I don't depict PSM as fun though. They could have easily picked another song like Ready Go or Advance Adventure.
Yeah, they could have.
I mean, maybe seriously,
they didn't have
it at
the time.
It would have fit nicely. And as a matter of fact, 158, the battle music they should have used was Ready Go. They should have used Ready Go because that totally would have keyed off of what was happening, not just killing the entire battle with PSM. Because that was just a waste of music, in my opinion.
I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it. Even though I'm not a Lovely Boy fan. And a PSM fan either. So.
They should have never revived Lovely Boy of any sort. Because that song
will be
like the worst.
They like it there. In Japan. Just because we don't like it. They're going to listen to us.
Kind of reminds me of the Pokemon Sunday ending. With the Sonansu and Kimori in the costumes, and you have the guy in the underwear.
The dancer.
The guy in the underwear who dances.
Oh, that is so.
The music is nice. I have to admit, another good song in the album is Night of Fire. I like that
the
song.
Singers
I like
are
the
nice
music
too.
But the singers are nice, but that video was. First of all, it was pink. I mean, it had the pink background going. Second of all, you had the guy dancing.
And he had a nice big old shaking belly too. Boy,
yeah,
tell you.
He looked like he needs to lose about 50 pounds. And the Sonansu and Kimori in the outfits there.
That was
just great. The Ranger date.
Oh yes,
the Ranger date.
Okay, all right, everyone. We've got a little special treat for you today. But before that, we just want to get on about this brand new news that's come out regarding Ranger, the release date. Now, can anyone actually remember what that is? Because I don't.
March 23, 2003.
Woo. Okay, that's
just
of course the Japanese
week or so
date.
After my birthday.
But however, that information was released by the Japanese businesses and not
community.
The company themselves and not Nintendo and not Game Freaks. They did not. Yeah.
So that that's
right.
Basically
that's
an expected release
like
date.
Yeah.
Amazon saying that they're going to ship it on X date, and they usually ship it what 2 days before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
it'll
that
probably come out then. Unless there's some sort of weird delay, like the plant blows up.
Let's even double check it to make sure it's actually a real release date. What is the 23rd?
Mm.
It's a Thursday. It's a real release date.
In any case, shall we move on to a little treat for the listeners here?
Yes, we shall.
Okay. Now, we haven't really done much of a dub focus segment in Bulbacast so far, and we don't exactly have the people to do that yet, but we do have a little treat for you from the dub. It's a little old. It's from episode 130 back in Johto. And
the episode title is
The Whistle Stop.
The Whistle Stop, yes.
Yep. And, well,
how do we get
basically,
on this subject,
there's some obsessive fans, namely PPN Steve here, have managed to find a little Easter egg hidden in the audio, presumably by some disgruntled people working on the show, including one of the voice actors. So, I mean, maybe this was a response to all the fans at the time saying this sort of thing. Maybe it was just their own feelings, but in any case, it's rather amusing that this is actually in the show and...
It was.
Well, listen to it. Well, yeah, so listen to it for yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You should give them context
okay,
first.
Yeah, first, PPN, can you do the audio
Echo?
Directly from the...
We're about 17 and a half minutes into the video, into the show, The Whistle Stop. I'm going to play the actual audio from the DVD, and it'll bring you... lead you into what we're talking about, and I'll stop it just about a few seconds after the event. So if you all perk your ears up here, I'll have my volume cranked up all the way. All right, here we go.
Lenny Ball!
Gotcha. Now, hand over that Pikachu.
I would never give Pikachu to you!
Well, then we'll just have to take it from you.
Look at them, go!
Victory Bell, too!
Land of play, the best of the space, both Nick and McQueen.
Do whatever you have to do to get that Pikachu.
And now we have a version where it's actually reversed, and then you get to see what James actually did say. Here it is.
Do whatever you have to do to get that Pikachu.
Leo Burnett and four kids of the devil. Leo Burnett.
That line always seems to get me. How could it get by the execs.
That is because it was reversed.
Exactly.
It was mumble jumble because he was inside the Pokemon.
And it made sense.
If we put up a clip, then some people are going to say, you tampered with that audio!
Yeah,
we're
right.
It, yeah. I think we should wrap this up soon.
Well, I've got to go too, so this is perfect timing.
And we'd like to thank everyone for listening to Bulbacast episode 4. This has been a very exciting episode. I cannot wait until the blooper reel comes out of this one, because there's various moments that people would love to hear, but sadly,
the blooper reel would be larger than the past 3 episodes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes, and I would like to take this opportunity to thank Archaic, PPN Steve, Pi, our call-in guests, Catter and Pokemon Trainer Lisa, and Iantisa's Killer, and we will say, see you next week. Goodbye.
Matarashi Nemina. Janet.